Welcome to Bridging the Gap.
I'm David McDonald. I was recently in Quebec studying French for 6 weeks at the University of Laval. I learned a lot of French. I'm not bilingual yet, mais j'ai pris beaucoup de la français. And if you're French and you'd like to get in contact with me and speak French with me, that'd be fantastic. You can give me a call at 613-235-4902, or you can find us online at www.catholicbridge.com. But while I was in Quebec City, I had a fantastic experience living with the religious brothers. I've really been thinking about the priesthood a lot lately, and who knows, maybe I'm going to do it. But I got up at 5:30 in the mornings, and I've actually been doing that for the last few years. And I've been doing what they call the office, those of you who aren't Catholic. That is actually the prayers of the church, and it's been going on for, well, almost 2,000 years now. All the nuns and priests and religious brothers throughout the world get up early every morning, and they do these sort of Gregorian prayers to Jesus, and calling him into the day and bringing him into the day, and that's followed with a mass. And I've been doing that for the last couple of years, and when I was up in Quebec, I was doing it in French, and it was wonderful. And then I would go off to school in the mornings. One of the priests I met was Father Girard Terrien. He's been a Servite priest for 30 years. And 2 years ago, he was hit with some really heavy-duty news. He was diagnosed with cancer, and he had a tumor the size of a baseball in his brain, and he was not given a very good prognosis. But he's been living with it for 2 years now, and through prayer and faith and following the directions of his doctor, that tumor has shrunk down to the size of his fingernail. Later on in the show, we'll be speaking with Hela, who is a very popular Spanish singer who travels throughout Latin America. I caught up with her in Guatemala, and she's been healed of cancer completely in her throat. She had a 5.9 centimeter tumorous growth that actually shrunk down to nothing immediately in a miraculous experience in front of the Eucharist. But first, let's go to Quebec City and join the religious brothers and priests in their morning prayers, and before we have our interview with Father Girard Terrien.
Royal et pourpre, mis aux noces de la croix, tu es venu réjouir les enfants de Dieu, et tu changes notre enfant, ô bien Seigneur Jésus, tendresse pour la terre. Que nous chantions pour ton retour, béni soit ton nom du Seigneur, celui qui vient sauver son peuple.
So, Father, I'd just like to walk through that experience of finding out, like, what it was like before you had the cancer, and then, you know, finding out about that. What were some of the circumstances that led up to you hearing about having cancer?
It all started on May 14th, 15th, the 16th, 204. A friend of mine asked me to go and see his pool. So I said, yeah, I'll get up and go and see it with you. And when I got up, I fell. I didn't have any strength in my right leg. So I got up and looked at the pool with him, and so it's okay. On the 12th, I was leaving for Europe, and on the 11th of August, the night before leaving, I had an accident. I fell in my room, and I stayed there for about half an hour, and I said to myself, what's happening? Dragged myself to the bed. Went to bed. I said to the Lord, my prayer tonight is very, very short. Help me. And I went to bed. I got up the other morning. Everything was good. So I said, let's leave for Europe. While being there, I was always tired, tired, and tired. But among my friends, I had two who were doctors who said, we'll get you to the hospital. I said, no way. I'm here for my holidays. When I get to the hospital, it'll be in Canada. And I said to myself in French, qu'est-ce qui m'arrive? What's happening with myself? I never thought of cancer. I went through the border, and a friend of mine was waiting for me. And when I got in the car, I said to her, drive immediately home, please, because I'm very tired. I put my suitcase on the chair and I went to bed because I couldn't bear the pain anymore. So I went to bed. Because the next day I had a mass to preside, 11 o'clock. And I presided it, but with des effets secondaires. Very embarrassing, but nobody could see it because the altar was right up to the ground. And what was horrible anyway. And while coming back home, I said, I'll stop to the medicine, l'urgence, the emergency. We talked, and he gave me some pills, and it wasn't working at all. So I went there 2 days after, and he was not mean, but bad with me. He says, this is not a playground. This is an emergency. I told him, I know it's an emergency. That's why I'm here. I'm not getting better. I'm getting worse. He started asking questions and deepened the questions. He said, okay, you're going to have an MRI. When the results came back, he said, you have a cancer and a tumor on the brain. And he says it's glioblastoma stage 4. That is the highest. So you're supposed to die. I said, how many years do I have or months? He says, you have up to 16 months to 3 years. I said, okay. He left. I couldn't cry. I couldn't yell. I couldn't do anything. I was just there lying on my bed and saying, well, it's my turn. And my brothers here panicked when they knew that I had cancer and the kind of cancer I had. They didn't know how to manage that, how to care with that, and how to mingle with that. So I said, well, it's part of life. So I started the treatments. I went to see a radio-oncologist for 30 sessions of radio-oncology. And I started my chemo at the same time. In January 2005, it was going really good. Going down, going down, going down. Right to now, at the end of September 2004, three other people entered for the same cancer. But I was the only one with a promising death. He said to me, I don't understand what's happening to you. So I was expecting for the worst. And he says, I've never seen that in my life. I'm a neurosurgeon, and I've never seen that. He says, can I bring your case to study at the university? And I said, yes. And he continued, and I had a rendezvous with him 2 weeks ago, and he still couldn't explain it. It's almost disappeared. Only 2% will get out of it, but the other ones will die of it. So I said to myself, Jerry, you know where to put yourself in those 2%. And I announced it to the parish, so I stopped parish work. People were praying and praying for me. And my mother would say, it's the prayer and the medicine. And I would say, won't you think it's the medicine and the prayer? She said, no. She said, it's that. Okay. I said, that's okay. My mother's 79, so.
And you don't argue with a 79-year-old Catholic prayer warrior. So you're living in the day-to-day possibility that any moment you could have a relapse, and it's a real challenge, I would think, in living one day at a time. This whole Lord's Prayer of give us this day, does that have a new meaning for you these days?
Not only that, but all prayer has changed since that day. My prayers have changed. When I pray the Our Father, that has changed a lot. That is the main prayer that we've learned from Jesus Christ, and that has changed a lot. The meaning of it, not only saying it, but the meaning of it.
Your mom has with very strong Catholic upbringing and prayed for you all through this process. Do you attribute some of the healing that you've gotten to those prayers of this mother?
Not only of my mother, but the other ones who are praying for me at the same time. I said to myself, well, there's something happening. It's not only the medication, you know. Because the three others that came in with me on September 2004, they all passed away. I'm the only one, and I was stage four, and I'm the only one living. And I said, no, there must be God's will in there somewhere. Je ne peux pas faire autrement que dire Dieu agit.
I can't help but think that God is working. Yeah, it's so true, eh? This life that we've been given is so preciously short, and I guess that might be something else that's really come to the forefront in these moments of sickness.
Right, you're completely right. But how to cope with it, that was hard.
We men are not great at dealing with sort of stuff that touches us emotionally.
Completely right, and we have to get over that.
None of us knows what tomorrow will bring. I would think that having cancer would bring that even so much more into focus, and in that sense can be a gift. Can you talk about some of the gifts of having cancer that might have come to you?
The prayer in itself, when I sing the psalm and I really deepen those words I'm singing or reading. And that has changed. That has changed. And it's good. It's good. I love it that way. And
here it is 2 years later, and your cancer in your brain has shrunk from the size of a baseball down to smaller than the size of a pea. And the people who came in with you who didn't have as strong cancer as you died within 3 months. Do you think that the doctors are going to look at this and really start to consider prayer as a viable and important part in the healing process and a part of their work?
I deeply hope so. Because I don't see any... Well, you can come out of it without praying. That's good, true. But when you're praying, you said there's something there, and we're going to work on it together.
Father Gérard Terrien, thank you so much for joining us here on Bridging the Gap, for allowing yourself to be vulnerable and open and intimate with all of our listeners, and I know that they appreciate it. And for those of you who might have cancer or might be living with someone who has cancer, we want to let you know that we're praying with you and we are with you. Father Gérard Terrien, thanks so much for joining us here on Bridging the Gap. And we pray that you'll be with us for many years to come.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Nous le servions dans la justice et la sainteté, en sa présence tout au long de nos jours.
Et toi, petit enfant, tu seras appelé prophète du Très-Haut. Tu marcheras devant à la face du Seigneur, et tu prépareras ses chemins.
Pour donner à son peuple de connaître le salut, par la rémission de ses péchés.
Grâce à la tendresse, à l'amour de notre Dieu, quand nous visite l'astre d'en haut.
Pour illuminer ceux qui habitent les ténèbres et l'ombre de la mort, pour conduire nos pas au chemin de la paix.
Gloire au Père et au Fils et au Saint-Esprit, pour les siècles des siècles. Amen.
When I returned home, I sent Father Gérard Terrien a song that I'd written for a friend who has cancer, and it's called We Hold You Up. And for those of you who have cancer or who might have a loved one who has cancer, I'd like to play it for you now. When the wind of change breaks the window of pain, we will hold you up when the midnight rain is falling again. We will hold you up. There is a candle on the altar of God, shining in the dark. We hold you up in the heart of the night. We hold you up when you're tired of trying. We hold you up to the author of life. We will be holding you. When the shifting sands are hard to understand, we will hold you up when the darkness falls and the emptiness calls. We will hold you up. There is a candle on the altar of God, shining in the dark. We hold you up in the heart of the night. We'll hold you up when you're tired of trying. We'll hold you up to the author of life. Every time you listen to the rustling leaves, you celebrate the kingdom that no man has seen. Creations whisper to a heart in need that walks by faith and not by sight. We'll hold you the heart of the night. We'll hold you up when you're tired of trying. We'll hold you up to the author of life. We will be holding you Now let's go down to Guatemala, where I caught up with Hela, who is a Spanish singer who has been healed of cancer. And we'll pick up the conversation where she's talking about that circumstance that was just so miraculous.
3 years ago, exactly, at the fair, I started with the symptoms, fever. I didn't know what it was. Here in the Feria Católica, this event that we're in right now in Guatemala, they discover a 5.9 centimeter cyst in my throat. My voice did not used to be like this. My voice was thinner, softer. Now it's kind of hoarses, but people say that they like it. The Lord has made it the way He wants it. From here, I went to U.S. right away because the doctor here told me, you need to go see a doctor right away. And I took the x-rays from here, from Guatemala, to U.S. and I go in, they do an ultrasound and they detect carcinoma in my thyroid. And for me, that was something very difficult that I went through 3 years ago. You know, when I saw the document that I had carcinoma, my world just came down. And my question was, why me if I sing to the Lord? Well, you know what, sometimes we don't understand why, but he does understand why. Now I understand it, because in a mass, after a mass Friday, in my church, Our Lady in Guadalupe in Ontario, California, I went there to put my life again in the hands of my Lord and said, here's my life. I go next Wednesday to see the surgeon to see what's going to happen with me. As soon as the mass ended, I got up to, you know, leave the church. And when I lift my eyes towards the altar, there was the Holy Eucharist. They exposed him out. And that's when I landed on my knees. I don't know how. And I just started crying and talking to my Lord. And all of a sudden, I feel somebody touching my elbow. And it's my husband saying, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm okay. Do you want to leave? I said, no. This is the best moment that I felt good after I've been told that I have cancer in my throat. Just leave me with my Lord a little bit longer. And he's like, well, look at you. Look at your face. I said, what's wrong with my face? You're all red. It's like somebody painted you with a color red. And I said, I feel fine. But look at you. You're all wet, all soaked. And every time I talk about this, I get soaked. It's like my whole body gets in sweats. And I told him, I feel fine. Let me talk with my Lord. Leave me a little bit longer. And we stayed there. I don't know how long we stayed. And that tumor, that cyst was... it grew this big. It was 5.9 centimeters. And it kept growing and growing and growing. And one of the surgeons said that I needed to be operated right away. And I could lose all my vocal cords and everything. I was going to end up with a little hole here with a little tube on my throat. And I would never be able to sing. But I put my hands in the Lord. That was Friday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The sixth day. Isn't that a miracle? The sixth day is a number so significant. The sixth day, I go in with the surgeon, and he examines me and starts looking at the paperwork from Guatemala, because then I went to Mexico, and they did blood work, and they confirm it. And he saw all the paperwork, and he's like, what is your name? And I tell him my name. What is your date of birth? And I tell him that. And he's like, well, let me see your throat again. He was all nervous, the surgeon. He finally says, you know what? Guatemala papers, Mexico papers, U.S. paper says that there is a 5.9 centimeter tumor in your throat, but there's nothing in there. But we have to go in with a needle to get a specimen and send it to the lab. He goes in with a needle, no anesthesia, nothing. He goes in there, and you know what comes out? Crushed blood. He couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And he was like nervous, and he's like, I don't know what's going on. Hold on, because I was crying. And I knew that my Lord was doing a miracle on me. I knew it. I just felt it. I knew it, that my trust in him, he would not put me down. And he takes out the second needle. He goes in, and he draws out again, crushed blood. The surgeon did not know how could crushed blood go through a needle so fine, so thin, the size of a finger, into the syringe. He couldn't figure out how did it happen. He did it the third time. Finally got a regular mass, kind of a normal specimen. He put a patch in my neck. 8 days without talking or saying yes or no. The document came back. It said some kind of a massive thing that they couldn't describe. They don't know what it was. So the surgeon called me back. It went in my throat again with a needle. Another 8 days without talking. The result came back and it said, zero células cancerosas. No carcinoma no more.
What a miracle, eh?
Praise the Lord.
This is an example of what faith can do for us. It's an example of saying yes to the Lord and really putting your faith in Him. The Lord doesn't always choose to heal us, but those physical miracles of the New Testament are alive today. The age of miracles is still with us. And, you know, you're speaking with someone who couldn't talk for 3 years. But I was on Broadway in the U.S. National Tour of Cats, I lost my voice on that show, and I lost my career. I was 24 years old, and I never thought I'd ever sing again. The doctors saw a swelling in my voice, and so I can really understand what you're talking about. And here I am, you know, I don't have the voice I had when I was on Broadway, but thank you so much, Hala, for coming in and joining me today, and have a wonderful rest of the evening.
Thank you very much for inviting me to your program.
Oriente pa'l occidente en el nombre de Jesús. Malaquías se va pa'l norte, Malaquías se va pa'l sur. Pa'l oriente pa'l occidente en el nombre de Jesús.
That was Hala, and she's back singing again all through Latin America after having cancer that was threatening her life and threatening that she would never even speak again, and it's been completely healed through faith. On our last program, we had Father Bob Bedard, who spoke about healing and suffering and what should we think about when we haven't been healed after crying out to the Lord. And most certainly, there is always a blessing from the Lord. So we just pray that if you are suffering right now, that you will offer it up, as we Catholics say, that's offering it up to the Lord and joining our sufferings to His sufferings and our joy to His joy. And we've recently put up a blog and a podcasting site. So if you're looking to find us online, you can catch us at www.catholicbridge.com, and you can do podcasting from there, and you can download any of our shows that you like. Section 1426 to 1430 of the Catechism, we are invited to have a second conversion, to have a personal encounter with Christ. It is a part of our Catholic faith. My prayer is that for those of you who may not have had that experience, that you will invite Christ to be the Lord of your life. If you'd like to get in contact with Bridging the Gap or order a copy of this show on CD, you can find us online at CatholicBridge.com. That's www.CatholicBridge.com. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, may God richly bless you and your family. I remember standing on that Broadway stage and thinking that I had it made.
But David McDonald fell into addiction and lost his voice completely.
For 3 years, I communicated by writing on a notepad. I never thought I'd ever sing again.
The Lord had other plans.
I remember that emptiness inside of me, and I didn't know Jesus back then.
But on a Christian retreat, the Lord touched David's life.
I picked up a guitar and I just started strumming on it and singing at the top of my lungs. And that night with 20 people meant more than my opening in New York, because it was about Him.
In the Holy of Holies, we fall down before Thee. There is no end.
Life is the only choice. Available at Salem Storehouse. David's full testimony is online at www.davidmacd.com. That's www.davidmacd.com.
I don't want to join.